seen it on a sticker. Perhaps you've heard it on TV. If you've been to a protest in Vancouver over the past 3 years, you've certainly heard it in the streets.
Stolen native land! Stolen native land!
No Olympics on stolen native land was the rallying cry for resistance to the 2010 Olympics, held on unceded Coast Salish territories. It was a central refrain during the anti-Olympics convergence in Vancouver. During the first days of the Games, thousands of activists and organizers from across North America gathered for protests and for discussions.
We see that the Games have been overrun with a budget of over $7 billion. Indigenous lands continue to be exploited and stolen, with ski resort development all across British Columbia, increasing poverty and criminalization of the poor in the downtown east side, a massive cutback in public spending, and an increasing budget for policing and militarization here in Vancouver.
That was the voice of Harsha Walia from the Olympics Resistance Network. Though the image of Indigenous participation during the Games was strong, there were many grassroots natives who denounced Canada and the Games. Melissa Elliott from Six Nations was one of many Indigenous people who came to Vancouver to speak out.
With these 2010 Olympics, VANOC and the IOC, in partnership with Canada, is trying to create a false illusion. They're creating a false illusion that Canada is good and has positive relations with our people. But we are here to break this illusion, to tell the truth, by declaring the following. We are not Canadian. We are not a defeated people. This land was never surrendered. Our nations and our people still exist and will continue to exist.
As the rain fell overhead, Togusti from the Wet'suwet'en Nation in central BC explained how the overblown $6 billion Olympic budget may affect Native people.
When a time comes for them to actually pay off that bill, we know they're going to start making their way into our territories, as well as other First Nations people's territories that aren't ceded yet. And they plan on paying off that bill by extracting resources from our lands and doing it as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
Art Manuel of the Sequetmic Nation explained the difficult situation facing Indigenous people on the land. He says this situation will be made worse by the extractive industries.
You know, when I say Indigenous people are poor, they have to rely on hunting and fishing to subsidize. Like, in a welfare on an Indian reserve is about $165 a month, and there's no way on God's green earth that you can live off of that. That's how hunting and fishing has been basically the food bank for Indian reserve communities, because we don't have food banks like they do in the city like Vancouver and other places like that. So mining and that, when it comes on, really intensifies. So it's really a grassroots struggle.
A proposed pipeline to take tar sands crude to the BC coast represents another major battle in BC. Urban organizers and activists will be called upon to stand beside Indigenous peoples in defense of the land. Togusti explains.
The Wet'suwet'en want to protect our lands. We want to protect it from any type of pollution, any type of industry development, because we need to make sure the lands are available for our children and our unborn children. And if we can get some type of support from people in the city here towards protecting that aspect of beautiful British Columbia, I think that's kind of what we're looking for. We're looking at developing a larger network of people who can and will stand beside us.
One of Manuel's key messages is that now more than ever, people need to differentiate between funded tribal groups and grassroots people.
Right now, you know, in Canada, a lot of people don't understand that the government does fund all of our provincial and national tribal organizations up to the hundreds of millions of dollars. And that basically co-opts them into government programs and services. A lot of people, they've given a lot of faith and confidence in those institutions without any realization that they've gotten into a position where they're just managing over our poverty, just like the bureaucracy of the government used to do.
For Manuel, the young folks involved in anti-Olympics organizing have built an important momentum for resistance, one that will last far beyond the Olympic Games.
These young people, a lot of the activists from the community level, they know that that's a dead-end street. And I think what they're doing here is really providing the only real alternative to address and eliminate the kind of poverty, to protect the land. And I think that's what's going to grow out of this. I just know this. There's a lot of momentum building that I feel that wasn't there 2-3 years ago even.
Stolen land. Olympics is not about the little man. Olympics is a Mm-hmm.